Hi, welcome to the sixth and final part of this little MQP course, MQP 1.0. Now I'm going to talk about MQP on the wire in terms of composite types and messages, and also get to the point of what is the minimum message size you can go and express with MQP on the wire. So an MQP message has a standard message format. The message format that we show here is actually replaceable and extensible. So even extensibility in MQP goes so far that the standard message format of MQP can be swapped out for a different one. So foundationally, let's go and remind ourselves, there's a frame transfer protocol under the covers, and there's a message transfer protocol that's above that. And the message transfer protocol is created by having these transfer frames, and those transfer frames they're followed by the message per se. The message, the payload, so to speak, that's this MQP message, that's that structure. It's standard defined in MQP, but you can go and replace that and make that something else if you need to. So the bare message, just kind of a bare message or an annotated message. The bare message is the core of the message, so that contains the properties. The standard message properties, the application properties, whatever you add as properties to that message, and the message body. That bare message may not be altered or changed by any party in an MQP network. MQP network in that case means you have a client that sends to the queue, then you have another client that pulls from the queue. That queue that sits in the middle, that intermediary, may not touch or change in any way that bare message. The other parts, the annotation sections, is something that infrastructure can go and touch and can go and manipulate, because it may want to go and make annotations, it may want to go and keep track of things in that frame. So for instance, the number of deliveries for that particular message, that's something that is done in the annotations. The message itself is made out of sections. And here I have an example building on top of what we already know in terms of MQP type encoding, and that shows now how one of those composite types is encoded. Using the property section in the MQP message. So the properties section, you see that's the first part of the bare message. The property section defines a message ID, user ID, a to, and a subject, and a reply to, and a correlation ID, so very common message properties. The way you encode these composite types is you encode them as a list, and of course you reference the type that you mean. So the descriptor is 0, and now we have a ulong, 5-3, so that's the constructor for the ulong, for the descriptor, and we're choosing a ulong 8, because while the descriptor code here, as you can see, is 0, and this is 32-bit 0, and then colon, and then the 73 hex constructor, descriptor code, that all boils down to a very handy little single byte 73 hex as the type code, because it's in the MQP namespace. So I say descriptor, the following descriptor is expressed as a ulong. That ulong is small enough to fit into a single byte, so we're going to make that a ulong 8. So we're referencing that with the 7.3. And then the properties are actually encoded as a list. That's how composites are being put on the wire. So the list is a C0. We saw that in the previous session. We only have put 4 elements on the wire, because the way how composite types work here is you can go and only use the first elements, and they kind of are ordered by priority order here. So we're only going to pick the message ID, the user ID, the to, and the subject, and we're just going to ignore all the other fields, which is perfectly legal for encoding MQP. So you can go and make a message more compact by just sending less metadata. The nice thing here is also what you'll observe is that these standard message properties don't need to go on the wire with a prefix. So you don't need to say reply to and send that in the message, because that's a predefined type. It's a schematized type that we're referencing, and both parties know that schema because that's part of the standard MQP type system, and therefore we don't need to put reply to or message ID on the wire per se, but we can simply rely on that external definition. So we have four strings that we're transmitting here, we do a message ID and a user ID and a queue name. That's where that message goes to, and a subject, and that subject is hello. So that's fairly easy. That's how we go and transfer the message properties, which is a fairly compact way of transferring that type. The message body has a choice of one out of three options. You can either send one or multiple data sections, and those data sections are just raw binary data. They're binaries, and they're also encoded as a binary array. And if you are carrying anything that's not AMQP encoded, which is very common, so you carry JSON, a message pack, or Avro, or Thrift, or XML, or whatever you like in terms of a format, then you can go and do that with the data encoding. So you basically just go and reference the data field, and then you put this your data into the binary that we flow with there. There's a, in the standard properties, you see there, there's a content type and a content encoding pre-built. So these are the fields where you can go and then express what you actually put into that data section. So that's just like HTTP, where you can go and specify the content type and also can specify the content encoding should you need that. For text, for instance. Then there's a way to go and to include one or more AMQP sequence sections, which are then treated like composite types, or you can go and carry a single AMQP value, and because you can go make nested types, that's actually sufficient to go and carry a lot of complex, interesting information in AMQP. So I'm going to show you that here, how you can go and use a single AMQP value to express a book. We have two books here, and you can go and read the JSON. So it's books. It's an array of, so we have a book element, that's the outer map. Then we have an array that has two elements. Each of those elements is a book description with a title and an array of authors and then an ISBN number. And that translates very directly into JSON, into AMQP. And if you count the bytes, you'll find that it's more or less exactly the same number of bytes that are being put on the wire, with somewhat clearer rules around AMQP. I'm not going to go say anything bad about JSON. It's a wonderful, that's a wonderful model per se. And so you create a map that's a single value that has two elements. It has a key and has a value. So the key is books. Then that has that itself has a value that is a list that has two elements. List, the first element of that is a map. The map has six elements, three key value pairs. One is the first element there is a title. That's a string. The second is the normal accidents, the book title. So you can see that it's very similarly structured to JSON, which is nice because you can go and take a JSON encoded structure and map it straight to AMQP and also map it back to JSON without any loss and have it in the native AMQP type system. So it's your choice whether you want to go and flow the data as JSON per se or whether you want to flow the data as AMQP. There's going to be no loss. The strength here of the AMQP type system is that it is more refined when it comes to data types. So there is three decimal data types. There's a very specific, there's a float data type for IEEE floats. And JSON is less precise there in terms of data types. It also, AMQP has a distinct timestamp data type, also something that JSON is lacking. So the type system in AMQP is somewhat more precise. So if you want to go and flow financial information, then the AMQP model might be preferable depending on what you do. What you'll see is that you can go and make them effectively completely structurally identical. So which one you choose really depends on your requirements. And you can always go and take an AMQP structure and directly translate it into JSON for further processing by other parties which don't understand the AMQP encoding. If you use schema, external schema, If you're leveraging that facility, then you end up with something that's a little bit more compact on the AMQP side, because we can now externalize the schema, the metadata, the descriptive metadata, into that schema. As you can see here, we have a composite that's a book, and that is made up of three fields: a title, and an author, and the ISBN. So what you'll see here is that you have a map again, and the map contains books. The key for that is books. Then the list here has two elements, and they have a descriptor, each of them, that's referencing that type. And then you only have the payload data, you don't have the descriptive metadata. So the AMQP description then becomes more compact, because you can go and now externalize some of that metadata out into the schema and not put that on the wire. What's interesting is that even in this case, AMQP can be fully parsed without any of the schema present. So you can still get out all the data, but you don't have the labels with it. But with other formats, you have the problem that if you don't have the schema present at all, you can't parse the content anymore. It's just binary gibberish. And that's not the case with the AMQP encoding here. So how's that all? Now let's go and put this all together. AMQP frames. How are we going to put those on the wire? The frame header has 8 bytes. So you have the size, it's 4 bytes. Then you have an offsite, offset into the frame header where the payload starts. That is 1 byte. Then you have the type of the frame. The AMQP frame has a 0. Then the SASL frame for the SASL exchange that starts at the beginning. That has a special frame type. That's 1. And then 2 bytes for the channel ID. So you can theoretically have up to 65,000 channels in one direction at the connection layer. Then that's followed by the performative. And the performative, for instance, is the open and the begin and the attach and the transfer and all those different performatives. Each have a type declaration in the AMQP specification where all the properties are being defined. And then that's ultimately followed by the payload of the frame. And whether there's a payload even with that frame really depends on the definition of the frame, of what the performative says. And the performative, for instance, for transfer says that the AMQP message follows that. So with the transfer, the AMQP message, which I discussed before, the set of data, that is following then the transfer performative. So let's put this all together. What does that mean in terms of wire footprint? What is the minimal size AMQP message you can put on the wire? You flow those messages with a transfer performative. So I'm adding this all together. So the frame header itself has 8 bytes. That's what you put in the wire. Then you have the transfer performative per se. That has, as with its with the a descriptor, has a 5 byte penalty. Then you have to go in and set the link handle. The shortest possible version is 1 byte, but practically it's going to be 4 bytes, 5 bytes. Delivery ID, 5 bytes. The delivery tag is going to be 6 bytes. The message format per se, 0 standard format, is going to be 1 byte. So the theoretical minimum is like 11 bytes. The factual limit is like 22. And then the AMQP message per se, we're going to choose an AMQP value. That descriptor, a constructive descriptor, is going to be 3 bytes, and then the hello per se is going to take 8 bytes. So that's together is like 11 bytes. So the minimal size of a AMQP message that you can put on the wire, while assuming all the other properties being default, is 41 bytes. That's not a lot of overhead for a protocol that gives you multiple levels of multiplexing, gives you its own data encoding, and gives you a great number of facilities for throttling, for management, even on small devices and in hyperscale systems. So you get effectively in those 41 bytes here, you get all of those features for a single message transfer, which is actually pretty amazing. What you should look at when you compare this to other protocols which claim to have much, much smaller footprint is what you get in terms of features here, what you don't get potentially in those others. And then you should also go and take into account what you have in terms of other overhead. If you use IPv6, with TLS, and so IPv6, TCP v6 on layer on top of this with TLS, you can easily get to 100 byte in terms of overhead just for that foundational transport. It's like 80 bytes if you use IPv4. So you're already paying a foundational tax onto which you are then layering kind of the frame tax for AMQP. And then you have already made a pretty big down payment kind of on your frame. And then you should go and maximize the use of that frame by sending more data along with it. And then the respective overall protocol overhead actually shrinks. And then also one thing to take note of, if you have a comparison between protocols, and you're using TLS, then you should keep in mind that with encryption protocols, you always get padding. So if someone claims that they can go and encode wonders what capabilities in 2 bytes or 4 bytes, then all that advantage is going to be padded away by AES-256, because that only works in 16-byte increments. So that's so much for AMQP as an introduction in 6 parts. There's more. So we're going to have another set of courses on transactions. That's part of the course spec that I have not discussed here. There's a model for how to do global addressing in AMQP. And there's also a specification that's currently in draft that's about management. How do we go and address entities? How can we go and create a queue inside of an AMQP broker if you want to? That's something that people have been saying is missing from the course spec, and that's something that has been in the 0.9 that's actually being added on using the management specs. So we're going to talk about that in a later course, and also about the subject of claim-based security. There's a very cool draft spec in flight on that. We also already implemented at Microsoft in the in our brokers. I'll talk about that more in a forthcoming course. I hope this was interesting for you. Thank you very much for your attention and for watching these videos.